Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'm your host, Rico Muhammad. Be joined shortly by my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. We have a special guest on board with us this evening. We're going to talk about possibly buying and expanding your fleet, what to look for, what to avoid, understanding if you're buying used equipment, what are some good specs that you need to be aware of, some of the things that you need to do in your due diligence process when thinking about buying a used piece of equipment, all of those things. So if you got questions about buying, we have an expert on with us this evening that can help guide you in the right direction when it comes to making that purchase. All you have to do is press the number one. That puts you in the call screen of queue. We'll get to you as quickly as we possibly can. But without any further ado, let's jump over into this week's DAT Trendlines report. National diesel price, relatively unchanged. We went up by 0.4 percentage points. We hung a national average of diesel at $2.43 per gallon. National capacity loosened last week, as evidenced by the lower load-to-truck ratios on the DAT1 load board networks last week. Spot rates remained elevated, though with a majority of high-traffic lanes seeing higher prices for truckload freight paired with the previous week. So let's take a look and see how we were performing by segment type, starting off with dry vans. And last week, we have averages coming out of the Northeast. Spot market, outbound spot market rates coming out of the Northeast for dry vans at 175. The average coming out of the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic states, we're showing an average of 205 on the outbound side. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing outbound spot market rates at 224. Outbound spot market rates coming out of the South Central region of the United States at 212. And coming out of the West Coast, Left Coast, we're showing outbound spot market rates averaging at $2.31 per mile. Jumping over into the flatbed segment of the report, starting out in that northeastern portion of the United States as well, showing an even $2 per mile on the outbound side for flatbeds, dropping down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states. We're showing an outbound rate of 238. Moving up into the Midwest, we're showing outbound spot market rates for flatbeds at 235. Dropping down to the South Central region of the United States, showing outbound rates for flatbeds at $2.28 per mile. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at 205. Jumping into this week's reefer portion of the report. Once again, beginning in the northeastern portion of the United States, showing outbound reefer rate on the spot market at 191, dropping down to the southeast and south central regions of the United States, we're showing outbound spot market reefer rates at 209. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing outbound reefer rates at 256. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing outbound spot market rates for reefers at 225. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing outbound spot market reefer rates at 257. So with that being said, let me go ahead and grab my co-host, Snow. Chuck, how are you this evening?
We're doing well. How are you, Rico?
Doing great. Looking forward to tonight's show. Definitely a topic that needs to be maybe talked about a little bit more to get a little bit more insight. I think that sometimes for most people, when it comes time to maybe buy or expand their fleet, they're just maybe looking for a certain color, and that's all they're concerned about. It. What color is the truck? But you and I both understand and that there's definitely much, much more criteria that one may want to consider before pulling that trigger. And I'm going to turn it over to you for you to introduce our guest tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Rico. I'd like to introduce our guest, Ray Veneman. I have known Ray for, I don't want to give away my age or Ray's age, but for decades. Ray is the vice president of resale for Rush Truck Centers up in Canada. And if there's one guy that I trust that knows an awful lot about trucks, especially used trucks, it's Ray. And with no further ado, Ray, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Chuck, Rico, thanks very much for the invitation. I'm looking forward to spending the hour with you guys tonight.
Well, we're going to learn some
Absolutely.
Stuff. I think it's a wonderful time for anybody that can to update their fleet, believe it or not. And especially with used trucks, I think that I've never seen the used truck market so reasonable, even back in 2008 in Canada. What's your thought on that?
No, absolutely. It's certainly, excuse me, it's certainly a buyer's market. There's no question. There's a lot of inventory. So Rico, to your point, if you want to just choose color, there's lots of colors out there, but there is just an abundance of inventory out there right now, and it's certainly a buyer's market.
Now, are you starting to see the repossessed trucks come through? Has that happened yet, or is it just starting?
No, I would say, that's kind of a constant, Chuck, that we do see throughout the year. I think right now it's slowed down quite a bit because of the COVID, I want to say exceptions, but more the deferrals of the mortgages and the loans. And, of course, the government has been fantastic, not only to the public, but also to the transportation community, as it is an essential service. So they've been supporting the industry quite a bit as well. So with the mortgage and the loan deferrals, I think that's helped postpone inevitable repossessions. But I think, come towards the end of the year, we'll start to realize more trucks being repossessed, or maybe not even repossessed as much as perhaps voluntarily brought back.
Right. Nonetheless, it's still people that can't meet their financial obligations on this equipment.
Well, it's pretty easy, Chuck, as you know. I mean, trucks nowadays are as close to cars and nice cars as you could get. When we started in the business, Chuck, it was trucks were pretty primitive and prehistoric. And now it's pretty easy to get a high-priced truck. And who doesn't want to drive a nice, fully equipped truck worth, you could buy a new truck for $180,000 now.
Right. And you buy a damn good used one for a fraction of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that to me makes sense. I know that one of our, I'm not afraid to say it, on the show, we bought two trucks from Ray for one of our divisions, two used trucks, because I can't see the sense of driving 100 and up in Canada for these things. They're probably $140,000 or $150,000. I just can't see or justify that investment to drive them off the lot, and all of a sudden they're worth 30 or 40% less a week later. It's just not a good use of money, as far as I'm concerned, especially in this market when there are so many really, what I think, good deals on used trucks.
And speaking of this, we were talking about color and everything, and with abundance of inventory. What are some other criteria that somebody when they're considering upgrading and buying used equipment? What are some of the things that they definitely need to be aware of before pulling that trigger? Right.
Sure, Rico. I think take into consideration what the application is. So whether it's new or used, I'm going to say this because, not only am I vice president of vehicle remarketing, but I'm a sales guy, first. and foremost. But it's important whenever you're buying something, whether it be a car, a truck, anything, that you establish a relationship with someone and someone that you can trust. Now, not I'm a relatively passive type salesperson, and I like to build the relationship first. It may not bode well initially for me, but as Chuck would be a testament to this, I have long-term relationships with people. And I think when you're buying anything, you want to have a relationship with someone, one that you trust, one that you like, and that you can go back to after you've bought the vehicle. And just even if there's not always the financial help or the assistance, but there's the understanding and someone that can help you work through the issues. I think that's very, very important. Having a connection at the dealership level, so someone that can open doors for you and just make any transaction smoother. But, excuse me, as far as buying an actual used truck, once you've selected the person or the dealership where you're going to buy it from, I think another thing that's important is having a strong network dealership. In our case, if I'm allowed to do this, Rush Truck Centers of Canada, we have 16 locations in Ontario, and I think the count in the U.S., and Rico, you probably know this better than I do, but I think we have 160 retail outlets in the U.S. Wow. So it's a pretty good network to you know, belong to. But so depending on the application, that's when you decide whether you want to go new or you want to go used. New is attractive because of the warranty that comes with it, and you know, big fleets tend to go that way because they can put the miles on and feel the comfort and the level. There are certainly, for used trucks, aftermarket warranties that you can purchase now, and there's some pretty good companies out there offering aftermarket warranties. It's not cheap, but it gives you that peace of mind. So when you're looking at something, if it has maybe too many miles, there are some miles on it, or if you're a person that just likes that peace of mind, you could look for an extended warranty. Most dealers do offer that as well. It's an aftermarket warranty, meaning it comes from an outside source. Excuse me. And then again, now we start looking at specs. If it's just a highway truck or tractor, and Rico, as we talked about this afternoon, whether it's going to be for team purposes, then maybe you want dual bunks, dual sleepers, whether you want a single bunk, and maybe you want more, what's the word I'm looking for, accommodations inside. So you could have your microwave, your fridge, et cetera. Or then again, if it's just in town and you need a day cab, people need to decide. There's always good deals, but the good deal may not fit the right application. So you have to be very cognizant of what you're looking for. If it's a day cab and you're driving in the city, you want to make sure the wheelbase is short enough so you can make the tight turns, and perhaps you're pulling even a smaller trailer, a 45 or 35-foot trailer to get around in the city. But and, of course, now just about everybody's buying automatic transmissions.
Are you seeing from your end, are you starting to see the end of manual transmissions in new trucks?
Absolutely. I wouldn't say the end, but certainly it's going that way for sure, Chuck. It's funny, when we first started to introduce the automatic transmission, and it wasn't the automatic transmission that it is now, understandably, but truck drivers weren't truck drivers unless they had a stick in their hand and could change 18 gears. And that's the way they felt. And now, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it. The automatic transmission has got really quite good. The traffic is much greater now than it's ever been. So, you know, it gets pretty hard on your leg, your hip, et cetera, having to push that clutch pedal all day long if you're, you know, in the city and you're not on the highway. So I would have to say the majority of our new truck orders are absolutely automatic.
You know, I can see that coming because where are people going to learn to drive manual? Even if they're 21 years old, chances are a 21-year-old does not have the opportunity to learn because, you know, good chances parents' cars were automatic. And even if he or she was in the military, my understanding is all the military vehicles are all automatic because they don't want their stuff beaten up by young kids. So people just don't, you know, unless you grew up on a farm, most people under the age of 30 years old don't have an opportunity to learn, you know, the basics of operating a manual transmission.
No, that's absolutely true. Fortunately, I was one of those kids that grew up on the farm and had that luxury of driving the tractors, and our farm trucks all had, standard transmissions. And fortunately, in our household, we've always had a standard or manual transmission car. So I was able to teach my 22-year-old son, and his mother actually still drives a standard as well. So fortunately, we were able to pass that trait, that skill set on. So it's kind of nice to watch.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, but the last time I took one of the trucks out any distance, I had to turn around, and coming back, I hit a traffic jam, and it dawned on me that at the time that my 66-year-old knee wasn't as good as it was when I was 45 or 20, 21. And it brought me to the harsh realization that if I bought a nice truck for myself at now I'm 67, there's a damn good chance that I'm going to do any real driving on that thing. Even the tie-ups with the border and stuff that happened, my left leg can't take it. You know, I just couldn't do it.
No, that's very true.
You know, and I don't think I'm any different than most guys that I talk to. They want automatic for, you know, because you're right. The city traffic has gotten so bad. You know, it's a different world today. Ray, I got to ask you something. There's a real change now. You know, when I got in the business way, way back, my first truck had a 205 with a big turbocharger and larger injectors, and I think it made it into a 235 or 237. And then when I got behind the wheel of the 350 Cummins, I thought the good Lord had given me wings. And then I remember Cummins came out with the KT450. You know, in the late 70s, oh my God, that thing was just unreal. Or maybe it was the mid 70s, but now today, I'm seeing like 475 horsepower almost being a minimum out there. I'm seeing big, big horsepower. Is this to keep so trucks can keep up with traffic, or what is the whole purpose behind this?
Got to be honest. I mean, I'm certainly not an engineer, so I don't know the real reason behind it. I think, you hit it on the head when you I think you said it was a 350 and you felt like you had wings.
Yeah.
Certainly back in those days, it was the boys club that had the bigger horsepower, and it's no different, Chuck, I think, with cars today. I mean, horsepower in cars has increased dramatically. I think a big part of that is it's more controllable now with the computerization. They're much more fuel efficient because, again, of the automated transmissions and the computerization. So I think it's supposed to, or it makes it easier on the vehicle or on the truck to pull the loads, and the guys can pull the loads certainly with more confidence. But you're right. I mean, even dump trucks, I remember, guys, if they had a 300 horsepower, they were laughing. They thought that was plenty.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a demand now, and more the norm. You're absolutely right.
Here's a question that we probably need to talk about and explore. Since most of the guys that are listening in, and everybody that is listening is pretty well aware of some of the hiccups and the nightmare that have been with the newer emissions. That's why a lot of people have held on to the older equipment as long as they have. I know that's been my reason for holding on to my old truck as long as I have. But maybe let's talk, if we can, talk about the reliability. Has the reliability improved on these newer emission engines, and which ones are probably safer to work with versus others that may not? I know as a salesman, I don't want to paint you into a precarious situation, Ray, but I do want to pick your brain along those lines, and also the usefulness, the useful life of a truck. What would you consider to be the useful lifespan of a truck before someone should be seriously starting to consider maybe upgrading?
Sure. Now, remember before this call, you said you weren't going to do this to me. No, I'm kidding. the precarious position we talked about. So I've always said to my sales guys, and I learned from, I think, one of the best, Chuck, you and I have talked about him before, and a good friend of ours, Steve Bates. But one thing I've always said is you just don't cut up the competition. And for people that are listening online, predominantly, so here in Canada, Rush Truck Centers for Class 8 trucks deals with Navistar International product. So needless to say, we've gone through real bad times. And when I say we, I don't mean really, I mean the sales guys did, the dealerships did, Navistar Corporate did, but you know, my heart really goes out to the trucking companies and the owner operators that bought the Max Force engines. And you know, that was an engine that tried to deal with the emissions in a different manner than, of course, all the other OEMs. And it just turned out really, really bad. Now, had it worked, you know, the person driving that decision would have been a genius. Unfortunately, it wasn't as successful as they had hoped, and actually contrary to that. So, you know, certainly in our area, Max Force engine's not a great engine to buy if you're buying used. Again, depending on the application, there are some great straight trucks with Max Force engines that if the owners are, you know, the one thing that we've learned, or certainly I've learned in this time with Navistar and Rush, is changing the oil more frequently in those engines has helped the longevity and the life cycle of those trucks. But they're, you know, you just never know with those engines. The other engines that I've heard that have had some difficulties with the emissions, of course, are PACCAR engines. But I believe they're all rectified now. I mean, those were in the beginning days, and of course Navistar doesn't make the Max Force anymore. PACCAR has changed their engine to facilitate the problems that they had with their emissions. So I think that stuff has all gone away. I think there's always going to be bugs, but you know, it doesn't matter. And I've been around long enough to know that every engine manufacturer, every truck manufacturer, as it is the same with cars and just about any other product you buy, everybody has their own little problems. And again, it goes back to what I said earlier. So at the risk of reiteration, it's who's standing with you and helping you through those issues.
Yep.
And how they're handled makes the difference. But
let me help you out a little bit, Ray. Because it wasn't just Max the Max Force engine. I mean, all across the board. Initially, when they first came out with the DEF and everything, every last one of the manufacturers had serious issues with downtime and everything like that. And I understand the you know, they had to eventually. Navistar had to go in a different direction to kind of go back with the way that the industry was forming, with the way everyone else was trying to deal with it. But all across the board, it seems that all of them had some issues. It seems as if, and of course, with any new technology, I mean, you didn't even have anybody with any real experience that knew how to really, when it came to the technicians, on how to troubleshoot these things. But now that we've gotten some time with the newer emission engines and all that stuff, and now we got some data and some technicians that actually kind of have a clue, because initially they didn't have a clue what the hell was going on. And it cost a lot of owner operators a lot of headache, downtime, and a couple of people, you know, even lost their businesses behind it, behind the maintenance issues. So that, you know, that's what we was you know, I don't think that there was just to point the finger at one in particular. Everybody had to work through the kinks of everything, but I think that in my humble estimation, and you could tell me whether I'm right or wrong, but I think that it's 2015 is probably a good year if you're looking to upgrade. If you have older equipment, maybe looking at the 2015s and newer going forward would be maybe more optimal than looking at anything possibly a little bit older, just because of all of the things that we just rattled off.
Yeah, I think that would be fair. Now, I can tell you, I've just recently had some 2013 Cummins in our inventory that had very low mileage, and they're a great engine, and they were day cab tractors. And if I was going into trucking today, or if I needed a company car, I would have bought one. It was just too good a deal and great trucks. So, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think once you're getting that vintage and up, you're certainly safer. And, you know, when you're looking at stuff like that too, and for owner operators, it's if they're having to get a loan to make this purchase, certainly most or a lot of finance companies have great difficulty approving trucks much older than that anymore.
That's a good point. The other thing is the old and goldies, as we like to call them, these 2000 and even older Peterbilts and Kenworths that are all, you know, restored and done up. The issue is going to be, according to a guest that was on regarding insurance, he said that they're going to be very difficult to get insurance on because you're not going to be able to install the telematics. And the insurance companies are gaining momentum very quickly in wanting to know what their insured are doing. And they need that newer equipment to be able to access that data. That's so important. And I just read today in one of the trade rags that there's a new insurance company coming out, and their whole platform is using telematics. And it won't be long, and there'll be others to follow suit, because the truck insurers, as most of our listeners know, they've been getting beaten up pretty badly, as are the people that buy truck insurance. It's just gotten so expensive. So this may just help. And I don't think anybody is doing any favors for themselves, unfortunately, by buying that old, you know, that great old equipment.
No, you're right.
Because it's just not, I can't see it as a great future for over the road. Plus, the other thing is, it doesn't get the fuel mileage that I'm hearing on some of the new trucks. I'm hearing some on one of your products, Ray. An A26 Navistar OEM engine? My God, I'm hearing crazy stories about, you know, 9 miles to the U.S. gallon with 43,000 pounds of freight on. That's pretty darn good.
It's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that engine, because a couple of our sales guys, it's funny, they were trying to sell me on the engine, and they're really quite pumped about it, because it's a really quiet engine too, and the response time, by pushing the fuel pedal and how quick it is, and it's awful to say this, how quick it is off the line, and just the response, and then the quietness of driving it. So you go back and look at those old trucks that you were referencing earlier, and boy, they're loud inside. They're really loud.
Yeah.
It makes the long
loud,
drive
yeah.
much longer.
Pardon me? It's funny, they're loud on the outside too. There were two trucks in front of our farm the other day. I was doing something out by the gate, and one of them was a big old Peterbilt or Kenworth from the 90s probably, and it had the big, the big open pipes, big wide pipes, and behind it, about 500 feet behind it was actually an International, and you could barely hear it. And I just shook my head and thought, what a difference. Now, I personally, you know, I like the sound of the old ones. Second one didn't sound like a truck, but I know it's, you know, it's certainly out there doing its job. And there was no black smoke coming out of the stack either. You know, that's something we've noticed. We've noticed in our shop when any of the old trucks came in, if the mechanic had to do something, even minor, and you let it run, the people in the office would be complaining right away. The newer trucks, if they're running, you can't smell anything. And so I heard from a lecture that I attended, a guy named Homer Hogg, who I think he works for TA, if I'm not mistaken, but don't quote me on that. He's their head mechanic who doesn't turn wrenches anymore. And he is he's a genius when it comes to DPFs and stuff. And his theory is that the what comes out of a stack on a newer truck is cleaner than the air that goes into that engine. And I believe him.
Yeah, I've heard that before too. And and you know, we have 16 shops here in Ontario, and quite honestly, it's amazing. You look up, you know, you used to look up at the ceiling in those old shops, and they'd be black, and it's amazing how clean our shops are now. It's unbelievable. I was going to say, Chuck, when you heard that noise going by your road, I thought maybe it might have been Denise and I in our car, but I guess it was a truck.
You need a muffler, do you? But yeah, we're certainly seeing changes out there, and I think that this is as I was saying earlier, this is such a great time, and I don't know if we're ever going to get a time like this again where people, whether they have one truck or 10 trucks, are going to be able to update into, you know, even 2017 or 2018s even. At great prices.
Let me do a reset, and I'm all, that's a great segue, Chuck, because that's what I was getting ready to come to prices. But I just want to do a quick little reset to let everyone know that's listening in right now. If you got a question about buying a used truck, press number one. If there's anything that we can help you out with, since we have Ray on with us that can answer your questions, if you want a question that you want to put to him, press number one. We'll get to you as quickly as we can. We got quite a few callers on the line tonight. Always like to invite caller participation. We always enjoy your interaction with us. But now back to the price, Ray. Right now, with the market being the way that it is, and across different segments, makes and models or whatever, for 2015, let's just say, you know, 2015, 2016 used tractors, what would you feel like is a safe median price entry point regardless of, I know you guys are international dealers and everything like that, but just regardless across the board, maybe give us a range of a price
also
point.
Up in Canada. So we have to do a quick conversion for many of our listeners. We have to give two currencies here to be fair to everybody.
Okay, I'm going to go, I'm just going to go to my currency calculator here so I can keep us honest, I guess. So I think so that's the one thing I will say, and Chuck, that's a very good point. So back in the day, I exported a ton of trucks to the U.S. and to South America, and it's still a good, you know, viable option because of the U.S. exchange. And it's, you know, the dealers really took advantage of that situation in South America, in the United States. It's amazing. The owner operators, not a lot of, I guess, just for lack of a better word, normal day-to-day people, civilians, don't pay that much attention in the U.S. to the Canadian exchange and how much different it is, because if they did, they would holiday here in Canada for, you know, a 30 to 40% discount all the time, and the same with buying vehicles. So and now, more than ever, our specs are more similar to the United States than they ever were as well. So there's a lot of similarities. So there's really good advantages. But Rico, to go back to your question earlier, you know, it, depending on, again, so here in Canada, where our mileage is calculated in kilometers and yours is miles. So back in the day, if you purchased a vehicle here in Canada and imported it to the U.S., or we exported it to the U.S., quite often we would have to change the speedometer, the odometer, et cetera. But now, thankfully, with the computerization and the digitization of dashboards, it's just a matter of pushing a button and you're either in miles per hour or kilometers per hour. So that's not necessary anymore. So there's even an expense saved there. So across the board, so you had mentioned that, yes, I sell Navistar product, and but fortunately, being in charge of the used trucks for all our locations in Canada, we like to deal in all makes and models. We understand there's a need for all makes and models. We understand there's a desire for all makes and models. And quite truthfully, I think they're all pretty comparable. So it's really what you like. It's, you know, so we want to cater to everybody if we can do so. So some may hold their value a little more, but it really depends on, you know, you can't order a used truck. It really depends how they're looked after. So, you know, and if you're buying it as is, or if you're buying it certified, or I think in the U.S. you call it DOT inspected. I'm not 100% sure what the terminology is there, but we, you know, buying a safety truck here, 15, you could be anywhere from, again, 25 to 30,000 Canadian. And that's at my view. We are quite inexpensive, and I'm saying that because I have so much inventory on an ongoing basis. We have, you know, a large lease and rental fleet that I get to pull from. I have that luxury. And so, but, you know, typically if you're looking on the advertising pages, you're going to be, for 15 still, probably around the 35 to 40 mark here, what people are asking. So where does that get you? So let's say 35,000 Canadian is going to put you at about $26,500 US. We'll get you a pretty nice truck. It's funny, we talk about this quite often, especially with the COVID. It's some of the sales guys are going, man, these trucks are too cheap. We should start up a trucking company. Like, it just it's absolutely true. I'm talking our guys out of it daily. It's unheard of how inexpensive these trucks are to get into now. I was at the Ritchie auction the other day, and I saw a truck go through, and I thought, wow, I can't even buy a pickup truck for that.
Yeah. There's a better market for pickup trucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first time I can remember, really, though, we don't have a we've got a bit of a market in the U.S., but not that great. And we certainly no longer have South America, Asia, or parts of Africa as a place to ship our used equipment, because those places are all suffering because of COVID. They're having the same financial nightmares as the United States and Canada, where business is down and they don't need any more trucks. And I guess parts of Asia, like China, where I was over in Hong Kong, and I years ago, our son was going to school there, and I actually saw some U.S. trucks there, you know, that had been Schneider trucks in their other life.
Oh, wow.
And the same as in Russia. We were on a cruise there once, and lo and behold, it was Leningrad, which is St. Petersburg now. I saw a couple of conventional Freightliners. So, you know, and I think they were Schneider, if I'm not mistaken, because of the orange color. So these things have a tendency to get distributed throughout the whole world. But right now, I think that the North Americans are very fortunate, if they are anybody that is looking to buy a truck to come up to Canada, because I know that this market is just, it's phenomenal. You know, it's a good time to update on that newer equipment and save your repair bills. So you don't have the great big cost that you do with, you know, going out and buying a 2019 or 2020. We get calls all the time from owner operators that want to lease on with us. And the first question we ask is, what are your payments a month? And my gosh, some of the payments I'm hearing, people cannot make it. But with a $25,000 or $30,000 truck, it's doable. You know, you can, even if you don't have the money in the bank, you can afford to finance it, and your monthly payments won't be insurmountable. So it's, you know, but you were right when you said you can't order a used truck. You've got to, you've got to do your homework. And definitely make friends with the dealer, somebody to sell you the truck that you're going to be able to work with, because it's not the sort of thing you want to buy online. It may look like it's a couple thousand dollars cheaper because there's no after service. Like, you know, once you buy it, you're on your own. You know, you can do very well, you know, at some of these auctions, but you take the truck and, you know, the motor goes, there's not much you can do. And sometimes that's why these things end up in the auction, is because people put them there because they don't have the heart to sell them face to face to somebody, or they don't want to sell them to somebody and have that person know where they live. That's the other thing.
Right.
So they end up on the auction. And I'm not saying that everything that ends up on an auction block is garbage, because, you know, we've bought equipment at auctions before, and it's great stuff. But you got to be able to do your homework.
Yeah, and I think when you're buying, and Rico, you had asked this, I think, earlier, similar to this, is, and you've actually been very patient, and I appreciate that. I think one thing you have to remember, and once you have a level of comfort with somebody, I want to say this, and I hope it's true. Nobody at a dealership, I believe, intends to sell you a bad truck. And I think, you know, if you know what you're looking for, if you have the patience to wait a little bit, that's fantastic, because then hopefully you can find. But understanding it's still a mechanical piece of equipment, and something can go wrong. It's, you know, you just don't know. But you just don't want to rush into something, I don't think.
But I think a dealership like yours that is, is part of a large organization, I don't think you guys are just like, obviously you take in trades, I would imagine, but I don't think you're just buying trucks anywhere. I think there's probably some, you know, there's checks and balances before you buy a truck. You're not standing at auction sites buying equipment.
Yeah. So we don't take in a lot of trade. A small amount of trades we do take in. And I would say, depending on the unit, I may wholesale those, Chuck. But the primary source of the trucks that we are retailing right now or reselling are out of our lease and rental fleet, because we know how they're maintained. We're the ones maintaining them at our dealership level, it just makes it easier for us. It gives us that level of comfort. Again, we don't know if they've been abused or not, and that's something you can never really tell. But we do monitor that stuff very closely, and we try to do the best that we can. So, but a big majority of our trucks come from our lease and rental fleets.
Well, the one thing I know, because I've known several people that have bought trucks from all the rental companies, and I've actually bought some of them as well. They're looked after. All the leasing companies, that's their business, is maintaining those trucks. They don't skimp on oil changes. They don't skimp on parts. Something needs to be changed, they change it. Actually, what I have found with both pack lease and rider, and I haven't done business with, with your leasing division, but what I found with two of your competitors is they will change components automatically once it reaches a certain age or once it reaches a certain mileage before it goes. They just do preventive maintenance, and they'll pull a starter off or something or another component when there's nothing wrong with it, because they know that on that particular engine with that many miles, starter is going to go or something else is going to go, and they just automatically change it.
It's really, really nice now with the the advantage of electronics. Navistar has some really neat software that kind of tells us what the weak component may be, what its life cycle is, and no different than our cars and pickup trucks or sports cars or whatever else. They're actually sending messages now to us saying, okay, this looks like it might be getting weak, we should replace it. And it's really, really interesting where the industry has gone and where it's taking us still. So there's going to be more of that to come for sure.
Do you see are you hearing any rumors or anything about electric trucks in your rental fleets?
So in our rental fleets, not yet. I don't see that coming, in the imminent future. I it's funny. I was talking to somebody about not in our rental fleets, but. And I could actually ask our guy tomorrow and to see, I'm not privy to their intimate conversations, but I'm sure if I ask him, he'd be happy to share any knowledge that he has with that. But it's funny, we were talking about the electronic trucks that are out there now and the ones that are, driving around California, United States on tests. And, it's a pretty interesting concept. Autonomous eventually.
If it's going to save the environment, and we're seeing these issues up in the Arctic. There's no getting away from it. And trucks do pollute. And I think as an industry, one of the many great things that we've done as an industry is I think we've really cleaned up our act an awful lot more than a lot of other industries. When I think of, the stuff we were running 40 odd years ago and the equipment we're running today, we've come a long way. And there's still a lot more for us to do. But I think that there's a huge future to go to electric trucks. That's not looking very good for our friends in the oil patch, but it's just the way it is. And I think these trucks are going to, I've heard stories about some of, I think they're beer companies and food companies in California, same thing you've heard, that have tried them very successfully. And it seems like most of the OEMs are throwing their hat in the ring and giving it a try. And they're having some success. Now, this is first generation. And I don't believe in being an early adapter. That's being a guinea pig, and I'm not into that. I have to be responsible. But there's some neat stuff coming out.
Absolutely. It's like you, I jump on the trade journals and trade magazines pretty regular. Rico, you probably see more of that stuff in the United States than we do here in Canada, especially from the southern states.
Yeah, it's a big push. They got a few manufacturers. Of course, everyone knows Tesla, and I can't the name escapes me of the other company that's talking
Nikola?
That's throwing their hat. Nikola, that's it. They're trying to get some stuff together. Of course, Nikola is claiming that they're going to have their battery is going to be so much lighter than what Tesla is going to put out. But Nikola has yet to manufacture anything, from what I understand. And so it's kind of, as the old saying goes, don't tell me about the labor pains, just show me the baby. And right now they don't have a baby to show.
Well said.
So yeah,
it's
going to be, it's definitely going to be an interesting, definitely going to be very interesting to see how the future develops on along those lines. Back to talking about used trucks though. Are you seeing, Ray, are you seeing now with the, especially we've kind of already talked about pricing being what it is, that you right now getting great pricing. But along with that great pricing, are you seeing more features, more amenities coming with those trucks as well? Some things, you know, such as the APUs and stuff like that, or what's been your experience with that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, and again, I'm self-promoting here, and I apologize.
No, don't apologize. Sometimes if you don't ring your own bell, it might not get wrong. So go ahead and ring your bell.
There you go. Well, we are in the process of taking in a large number of 2017s. That are quite well equipped with APUs and S-bars and et cetera. And it's interesting because it's, you know, that old adage, you're getting more for the money because the first owner is paying for it.
Right.
So all of these trucks, you're absolutely right, Rico. They're coming with more options. Again, I'll go back, you can't order a used truck, but, just for driver retention, and this is your business, not mine, so you know more than I do for sure about all of this stuff, but trucking companies are doing all they can to maintain the quality drivers that they have. And to do that, it's a level of comfort. It's newer trucks. It's newer gadgets. It's ease of use. So they're constantly having to update and to, you know, offer these options, if you will, to entice the drivers, not only to stay, but to hire new ones. So that transfers automatically to the used trucks. And the APUs now are so nice because they're built in and they're just, it's just a nice feature. And I say APUs because that's what you mentioned, but all the other features come along with that, again, depending on, you know, where the trucks are coming from and what application they were used for, of course.
And all that stuff is so much more reliable than first generation when it first came out. Stuff now is just great.
Oh, Chuck,
so
I remember.
No,
sorry,
finish your thought, Ray.
I was just going to say about those options. I still remember on the farm, Dad bringing a new car home or new to us car, and you know it was roll up windows and it, you know. Everything was manual, and Dad said, "The more you have, the more is going to go wrong with it." And of course, now he has every option, and every car now. Like back in those days, when we did the first car we had with power windows, they were constantly falling off the track or not going back up, and that stuff is unheard of now. You're right; they're so good. They've perfected all of these options. It's wonderful.
I think you can buy a car with roll up windows anymore?
So I'm looking at the time, and we've practically blown through the entire hour. And Ray, we want to give you the opportunity. Like I said, it's okay for you to ring your bell, but go ahead and I want to be able to give you an opportunity to tell people how they can get in contact with you, what you guys may be able to do, how you may be able to help some listeners that may be in the market. Of course, there may be a little bit by you guys being in Canada, but that you know, there are where there's a will, there's a way, and there may be some options available. So I'm gonna, you know, give you the opportunity to go ahead and tell folks how they can get in contact with you and some other, like you say, and some other things. If you anything you want to plug along those lines, you have the floor.
Oh well, I appreciate that very much, and. Chuck and Rico, thank you for the time. It's gone by very quickly. Thank you for that. So to the listeners, my name is Ray Veneman. I'm Vice President of Vehicle Remarketing for Rush Truck Centers of Canada. I will help anybody purchase new or used trucks. It does not matter the brand. The good thing about being in this business, there's so many people with lots of money in this business, and they're great people. Everybody's really down to earth, so I quite enjoy that. I've been around for a long time. I know all the big players at all the OEMs. So if it's not our brand that I can help you with, I'm happy to introduce you to people like myself at other brands. I'm happy to introduce you to people with used trucks that I don't have, or I'm happy to go and source them for you. We have a very wonderful complement of sales guys that work with us here at Rush Truck Centers of Canada. I specialize in exporting trucks as well. So if you happen to purchase a truck from someone other than me and you need help or understanding on how to get it across the border to take it home, I'm happy to do that and facilitate that for you or set you up with the people that can do it. So again, my name is Ray Veneman. I will offer my cell phone number. It's area code 416-816-5239. And certainly you can reach me on my email. I'll give you my personal email, which is ray@veneman.ca. And Veneman is V-E-E-N-E-M-A-N.ca. ray@veneman.ca. I guess that's it for me, guys.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. You certainly shed a lot of light on trucks and used trucks and information that I think our listeners can take back and think about and perhaps contemplate updating their fleet. And you, who knows, you'll probably get some phone calls from some of our listeners.
Well, that's wonderful. I certainly appreciate the time. Lovely, lovely podcast. And I'm sure the listeners have enjoyed everything that you've helped them with so far. Thank you.
I'm sure they enjoyed this one. Because they've got a chance to really learn something.
Right, right.
Joining us.
Chuck, before we get out of here, let the folks know how they can get in contact with you and how you and Traffix might be able to give them a hand as well.
Well, if I can help anybody in any way, whether it's get you set up with Traffix as a carrier or if there's something special you need, just get hold of me. I'm real easy to get hold of. Fastest way to get hold of me, really, these days is email. It's just plain old Chuck, C-H-U-C-K, at Traffix, T-R-A-F-F-I-X.com. Or you can send me a private message on Instagram, Chuck Snow, CEO. You can give me a call. Really important, my extension, 203. And the phone number is area code 800-388-4352. And if you have any questions or anything you need, just get in touch with me. Glad to help you. And if you need, if you didn't get a chance to get Ray's name down properly, give me a call on that one too.
All right. Well, we want to take time to take a minute while wrapping up and doing a little housekeeping here. I want to thank Ray Veneman again for joining us here on the podcast. But most of all, we want to thank you guys, the listeners. You could have been anywhere else, but just took a little bit of time to spend with us tonight, whether it be tonight or whether you're listening to this later on a download. We definitely are appreciative of it. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We want to try to grow the podcast. As always, we enjoy your interaction. You guys seem to be a little bashful on us most of the times. I see a bunch of phone calls on there, but you know, you can press number one. It's not that big of a deal. We don't bite. We try to keep everything low key and make it very easy for you to ask your question, because there's no such thing as a stupid question or a dumb question. If you don't know, you don't know. You never know what you don't know. So never be bashful to ask a question. But with that being said, like I said, we just want to thank you for calling in. Thank you for tuning in. You guys be safe out there. Keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, God willing. We'll talk to you same time, same place next week. God bless you and good night.
Catch you on the flip-flop.
So.